Dear listeners, Sai Ram from Prashant Nilayam, the most happening place on the planet, as I always say, and today is December 28, 2017. The 3-day Christmas celebrations just concluded, and what a glorious time it was to be in Prashant Nilayam. People from so many lands and cultures, so happily in love and in bliss in Prashant Nilayam. I had the chance to talk to many of them. A Sai couple from UK, someone from Trinidad and Tobago, someone else from Yugoslavia and so on. And it was such a refreshing and revealing experience as I filled myself with their love for Bhagwan, their deep connect with Swami and their zeal to somehow spend their Christmas with Bhagwan. So today I'm going to share this joy with you in this hour of outside, inside, deep inside. I'm going to share with you some of these Christmas reflections, moments of joy, moments of yearning, and moments of deep learning.
Prema Swarupulara.
Embodiments of love.
Shanti ni lopam unnadi kani bayata ledu.
Peace is within, not outside.
Outside no peace, only pieces.
So welcome to Outside, Inside, Deep Inside, Christmas Reflections 2017. I spoke to Mr. Devadutt Vishnu Ram Kisun, a long-standing devotee from Trinidad and Tobago. And he was so happily telling me how he longed and loved to be in Prashant Nilayam every Christmas. And he has been coming to Puttaparthi for Christmas for more than 20 years now.
I'd like to express my deep profound gratitude to Bhagavan for making it possible for me to come and be with his children that he have selected from all over the world. We have 12, 13 countries again this year and close to 50 children. Yeah.
Wow.
And 6-7 musicians all working to give the best of the children could produce, make this offering to Swami. Mm. So it is indeed an honor and a privilege for me to be here and to come. And it's my humble prayer to Swami to keep allowing me to come as the years go by, to enjoy, to have this, to be in this joy in Prashanti Nilayam. This is Prashanti Christmas is the best for me. I live and whole year I put things in place just so December month I can be free.
Wow.
To be here with Swami's children from all over the world.
So whole year you prepare so that you can come for Christmas?
Yes, yes.
Every year?
Yeah.
Don't you feel that, you know, I could have celebrated at least 1 year somewhere else, but because you've been coming like every year, almost 20, 25 times you've come to Prashant Nilayam. Don't you think you've missed something?
Certainly not, certainly not. My dad is 82 years and his health is not so good.
Mm-hmm.
And yet still I would come, I trust the Swami would keep him well until I get back. And by now my family, my two sons and my wife, they have gotten used to it. I asked them to come, and they were on and off. This week they're coming, next week not coming. So often my son had to work and yes, you know, mother would stay with the child. So, but they fully understand and they're happy I'm here.
They know that for Christmas you will be in Prashanti.
Only Prashanti.
Sing.
Mr. Ramkisun has been serving as a child caregiver, helping the children, choir conductor in managing the children and looking after their needs as they practice their songs. And I asked him how this experience was, and he spoke about how the children are preparing for these carols 2 days before they sang in the presence of Bhagwan in Sai Kulwant Hall, and this is how he was feeling then.
From last year and this year especially, Swami is sending so much talented children. Their voices, they're singing like angels. The children are so talented. Today, as the days are coming, and we are starting to run the program now, the program is getting a little more concretized, and we're giving it a run. Today we started to give it a whole run. And, you know, sometimes while you are there singing too, and you hear what is filling that exhibition hall, it's like, wow, it's a joy, and it brings tears to my heart, you know. These children are the cream of the crop. When you look at them, it's just like looking at you, see Swami. How fortunate I am and we are to work with these children. Swami has chosen, out of all the children in the world, these 50, 60 children that will be here spending Christmas in Prashanti Nilayam. I know it's going to be the best Christmas ever.
Yes, indeed, it was the best Christmas for so many. The children sang so beautifully. Let me play for you one song that the children rendered. So that was one of the songs from the children's choir that happened on the evening of Christmas, December 2017. I had the chance also to talk to Vikesh, a young adult from UK and who was blessed to play the keyboard for the adult choir. And of course, the story of how their family came to Swami is quite an amazing tale. But for now, let me play for you just one or two clips of Vikesh sharing his experience of being part of the adult choir.
In the year 2010, I was going through a lot of hard times, very personal things, you know, and these are things which no one could help me with, not even my own parents, you know, and I needed someone to help me. And that's when I instantly drew to Swami. I said, maybe Swami can help me with this. And what happened was I was reading Saismaran. It was just in the shrine room, this book by Dr. Gadia, and that book transformed me completely. From having dreams when I was four or five years old, having no dreams by the age of 16, as soon as I read that book, I started to think, wow, this is Swami. He's living in India. He's right there, and I'm reading all these amazing experiences that people are having with him. And at this point, I wasn't doubting the book because I knew. So my mama told me Swami's God, so I knew this is real. Not a single shred of doubt. Reading a book. Thinking, I need to see Swami. I want to be with Swami. I need this. I need to see Swami. I need to play. You know, I had played in no choirs before. And I had always thought to give back what Swami's given me. Or even better, work for Swami with the gift he's given me, come to Puttaparthi and help in the Christmas choir. That's the best way I can serve. That's the best way I can give back. And that's how it happened. So 2010 for me was so important because the lead up of that intense devotion for a whole year and then finally seeing Swami, I can never tell you in words how powerful it was to first see him and play in front of him. It was amazing.
The soul felt complete. The body was
exactly
also healed.
Exactly. The soul felt complete. Definitely felt complete. He was satisfied. But he wanted more.
Wow. And every time Vikesh came to Prashantinilayam, every time he's here sitting in the Sai Kurant hall, so many memories surface in his mind, and these are very powerful moments, very powerful reflections, moments which are enlightening and recharging.
I know that in the past Christmases, Swami doesn't come down at the end of the service to take a picture with everybody for Christmas. But this time he did. And let me tell you something, I just wanted to grab his hands. Because the thing is, he blessed my hands to play music and you know, to make people feel good. So I see many people taking Pad Namaskar from Swami, but for me, my Pad Namaskar was touching his hands. And I just wanted, even if just a little touch, I'll be grabbed, or even just grab his hand, you know, I just wanted to do that. But I was thinking while performing, how do I get to Swami? Because he's not going to come down. He never comes down. He probably won't call me. So when he came down, I just leaped over a few guitars. I think I stepped on one actually, by accident. And I just, not aggressively, but I kind of just shoved people out the way because I really wanted this moment, you know. And I glanced over and I went straight for his hand, and my hand connected with his. But he looked like this. But by the time he looked at me, I'd closed my eyes and I would felt this electric shock just surge right through me. It was amazing. I can still feel it now, you know, just by thinking about it. 6 years later, when I saw the video, that is when I found out Swami looked right into my eyes like this. And I saw the video straight in, but I closed my eyes like this, just enjoying myself, you know. That was the most important moment, touching him, you know. And then next year.
Wow. Yeah. The soul connecting with the oversoul.
Exactly.
Wow.
Bliss.
That's amazing. So every time you come back and sit in Sai Kurant Hall, be it Christmas at any time of the year, I think that connect keeps coming back, right?
Always keeps coming. It always does. When I perform, when we all perform, just picture Swami just standing there, sitting down, just as he usually does. He is anyway, but I really focus hard. I just don't forget. I never forget that he is there. He's there, sitting there, enjoying himself. You know?
So it doesn't matter if he's physically not there.
It definitely doesn't. To me, it doesn't. But at first, you know, in 2011, I will admit that it was quite difficult for all of us, I think, you know, because we were so used to seeing Swami in his physical form coming down, blessing us, you know. And for Swami not to, you know, physically not to be there, it was kind of heartbreaking at first, you know, it was quite sad. But then, as we kept coming back, I realized Swami is actually here, you know, because of dreams that I've had to confirm his presence. He is there.
Maybe you can share one or two.
Okay,
of
sure. Well, the first dream after the 2010 Christmas in February, I was happy. I was so content. Like, yes, you know, it's happened. I can't wait to come back next year to play if Swami calls me again. And the only thing I was actually a little bit upset about whilst performing to Swami was my mic was taken away from me. Uh-huh. So me being me, I was young back then, I was thinking, oh, Swami physically, he can't hear me anymore. Mm. Obviously, he could hear everything. Even if the keyboard's turned off, he could still hear you play. So I was upset about that. Sometime in February of 2011, Swami came into my dream, and it was just me and Swami in the Cycle One Hall. Mm-hmm. And I was just like walking around him, and he looked at me like this. You know, like he's raised his eyes at me and is smiling. Mm. And then I said, Swami, I asked him, Swami, could you hear me in 2010? Could you hear me play? And he goes, yes, yes, Swami can always hear. And then I said, Swami, you go, what about the cable? What about the microphone? He goes, next year, I will plug you in. Don't worry. Swami will give you, Swami will plug you in next year. So he already confirmed that we were going to come back in 2011. Mm. So that's how, and obviously he was fully aware of his physical exit. He knew. He was in control of everything. So if he knew he was going to leave his physical body, and he said, next year I'll plug you in, that's already confirmation. I don't need any more experience. That was his confirmation, saying he is there and he's going to plug me in. Mm. Come 2011, I didn't even remember the dream. You know, I just was so focused on giving Swami my best that someone came and just said, here's your cable. You can plug this straight in. You know, and I was so happy. It was only then when you plugged the cable in. Yeah, the dream. I remember now. Yeah, the dream. It was great. It was amazing. Just one more experience I'll share.
Please.
It was again before Swami left. Mm-hmm. It was actually in, I think, end of February or March time of 2011. This was a very profound, for me, this was a very profound dream. It was actually before I started my graduate studies at university. I was struggling what to do. Maybe I should go into IT, or maybe I should pursue the heart and go into music. I didn't know what to do. So parents, luckily, they advised me to just think what you need to do. Take a gap year. Take as much time as you need. They're so kind. They didn't rush me or anything. So they gave me time, and I was thinking, what should I do? What should I do? And I just didn't know what to do. Swami came in my dream. It was a double dream that happened. The first dream was I was upstairs, and upstairs we have a massive picture of Shirdi Baba, huge, huge picture. Mm-hmm. And then on the left side is the wall. And I was walking in the dream, and I looked at Shirdi Baba in his eyes. And on the wall was a transcription that was happening in real time. Mm-hmm. And Swami said, do whatever your heart says. Swami will guide you in whatever career you choose. I will always be there for you. That's what it was, a live construction. It was literally like being sculpted into the wall. Mm-hmm. And then I was thinking, okay, because I really wanted to do engineering. This was my heart, and I didn't know what to do. I wanted to be financially secure. I was thinking too much ahead. Mm. I woke up, went back to sleep, and then another dream happened just in the space of 15 minutes. This dream was me sitting in Cycle One Hall right at the front, my dad on my right hand side, and my granddad, funny enough, my dad's dad, on my left-hand side, all in white. Swami was sitting there. Samadhi was also there as well, which was, in the dream, I was thinking, what is this doing here? I was questioning, what is this? And Swami looked at me, he looked at my granddad, he looked at me, and he was giving sweets. Because we were at the front of the whole row of people, so he was blessing with sweets. And as Swami moved to the left, I saw the Samadhi there. And it was, funny enough, it looked exactly the same as a Samadhi that's built now. Mm-hmm. You know, but I was confused, thinking, what is this? You know, Swami's blessed me with this message now, this has happened. And when I woke up, you know, I told my mom, I woke them up in the morning, 6 o'clock in the morning, I was you know, pulling, mom, I had a dream. And Swami used to tell me what to do for my career. Mm. On that day, I just straight away applied for engineering. You know, and I got into the university, so I studied there. But following that year, when we came, Swami had, obviously, when we found out the news that Swami has left his form, I was really sad. And when the Samadhi was eventually built on the curtains, unrailed, I looked at the Samadhi, thinking, no way, this is the exact Samadhi that was materialized in the dream. So for me, just those two experiences, for me, was just unquestionable. He is there for sure. He knew everything which was going on.
Wow. I mean, it's so significant. In the dream, you saw the samadhi, and you saw Swami also.
Exactly.
So he's there.
He's there.
He was telling you as clearly as it can be,
yeah,
that even though my samadhi is there, he was there distributing sweets. So yeah, he's doing that even now. The samadhi is there, but he's all the time distributing joy.
Yeah.
Now.
Exactly.
Yeah. So that is how indelibly Swami has touched Vikesh and so many like him. I also had the chance to talk to Mrs. Tanya Goldberg, the conductor of the Adults Choir, and her story is so interesting. She hails from former Yugoslavia, but now for the last 17 years she has been living in the UK. She took to music at the age of 9. She was fascinated with the violin, and eventually when she turned 18 she went to Moscow to do her bachelor's in music, and later she returned to Bosnia and taught music as a professor of music. And then when the war broke out during the early 90s, that's when her life changed completely, because she faced tragedy after tragedy. Because of the war, it was too much for her to handle. She lost her mother, she lost her father, she lost her dear grandmother. All were killed, and that is when she escaped to Brazil, to Rio de Janeiro. And for the next 7 years, till 2000, she was in Brazil, and that is when she heard about Swami. Actually, that devastating tragedy that she went through in Bosnia, when she lost all her near and dear ones, is what made her ask a lot of questions about life, about the meaning of life, about what she was doing and what is her destiny. And that is when she began reading the Bhagavad Gita and other spiritual texts. And even though she was born in a communist country and no one there believed in any concept of God or anything of that nature, somehow right from her childhood she was always open to this idea that there is something else beyond the body, there is something more to what we are seeing around us. And in fact her father also shared her views, and in fact she and her father even had an understanding that whoever leaves this world first will communicate to the other from the other world how it is to be on the other side, because that is the only way they will know if there is anything else happening beyond death. And in fact that is what exactly happened to her. A few weeks after her father passed away, she saw her father in a dream, and her father was communicating to her from another plane, from another world, and she saw that her father was very happy. So she knew there is something more glorious beyond this world, beyond this life. So like this, this tragedy opened up very new dimensions in her perspective of life. Even though that whole pain was difficult for her body, that opened up new vistas for her soul. And later in 1995, when she was in Brazil, a friend once called her to her home, and that friend had just returned from a visit to Puttaparthi. And she gave her a little bit of vibhuti, and she asked, "When you smell this vibhuti, what thought comes to your mind?" Tanya, at that point in time, had no idea what that ash was, because the first time someone was introducing her to vibhuti. And the moment she smelled that ash, she says, the feeling that covered her, that feeling that enveloped her, was a feeling of being loved and being protected. She says it was not the fragrance of a perfume or a flower or anything of that sort. It was just love and protection. I smelled love and protection. In fact, she said that instantly two memories flooded her mind from her childhood. One, when she was just a year old, and one day she was sitting in her room, and it was a very beautiful morning. The rays of the morning sun were coming into her room, and in that beam of sunlight she could see many particles dancing, and eventually those sun rays fell on her, and she felt so warm, she felt so loved, she felt so protected. It was a very intense feeling even as a little one. Somehow this always remained in her mind, a moment of being loved and protected. Similarly, when she was 3, she had once been to her granny's place, and her grandmother every morning used to make beautiful coffee and snacks for her. And after she would serve her, Tanya would go and hug her and would have those beautiful moments of love with her grandmother. And those were moments, always she felt so loved and so protected, so warm. And she says these strong memories of love, of being protected, always stayed in her mind. But somehow they didn't surface in her mind for so many years, for decades. But that day, the moment she smelt Vibhuti, these two memories just came back. And she knew that there was someone communicating to her that she is being loved, that she is being protected. And after that, she took to reading Swami's books, and that's how she read Sai Baba, Man of Miracles. And eventually she felt that probably one day she should see Baba. And during this time, she and her friend, they were planning to go for a vacation, and they initially decided they'll go to Mexico, because she always wanted to see the pyramids in Mexico. But when they went to the travel agent, suddenly, out of the blue, she asked if she could go to India and how much it would cost. And the agent said they could go to India with half the expenditure that they would need to go to Mexico. And suddenly she had this urge that let us go to India, and she convinced her friend that, you know, we must go to India. And her friend agreed, and so they came to India, they traveled to Nepal, they went to so many temples in the eastern corridor of India, and finally they went to Kerala. And she was sitting in the Kollam beach, and she was just relishing the beauty of the beach, and she was just soaking in the beauty of the moment, and she was lost in thought, looking at the magnanimity of the ocean, looking at the infinity of the horizon, and she was just thinking how amazing is this planet, how beautiful is this earth. And as she was in these thoughts, lost in the glory of the creation, suddenly something flashed out of nowhere in front of her. It was a beam of light, a beam of orange. And she saw for the first time in her life Swami appearing there in the beach. She was stunned. She couldn't believe that it was Baba coming there. And Swami told her in English, each one must find their path on their own. And she could not make out what Swami was actually telling her. And she thought, okay, why is this person speaking to me in English? That's the thought she came in. But it was such a shock and such a revelation that now she was desperate to see Swami. And that's how she convinced her friend that let's go to Puttaparthi. And her friend said, okay, we'll go to Puttaparthi, but only for a day. And they landed in Puttaparthi. They were there for one darshan. She was there for just that one darshan, and she was sitting in the darshan hall waiting for Bhagwan to come. And the lady who was sitting next to her was a Polish lady, which she realized later. And this lady also, as they started to talk, she realized that also was a refugee. And that's how both connected well. And this Polish lady then started talking about her experiences with Bhagwan, and told her that, you know, she should write a letter to Swami. And even she even gave her a paper and pen. And that is how Tanya wrote a letter. And when Bhagwan came, she thought she will give this letter to Swami. Swami came near her, but Swami did not take that letter. She was in the fourth row. Swami came that side four times that day. But every time Swami came that side, she could see Swami. Swami saw her, but Swami never took that letter. But she could not stay for longer. She had to leave. Her friend was waiting just outside in the car. But she says that even though Swami didn't take my letter, I don't know why, I just felt so light after seeing him. I just felt so cleansed. I just felt so much happy just seeing him. And it didn't matter that he didn't take the letter. She just had given that letter to the Polish lady and told her, please give it whenever you can. And that's how 4 months later, the Polish lady called her and told her that Bhagwan has finally taken her letter. And she told her that from now on your life will change. And that is what happened to Tanya Goldberg. Her life changed dramatically since then. She came again in 97-98 and now stayed for 3 days. And she was very satisfied, very fulfilled. Now, by this time, she had heard so much about Swami. She had met so many Sai devotees. And she had seen someone whom Swami has resurrected, whom Swami had cured. She had read so many books. And she was convinced of Bhagwan's divinity. Now, nothing needed more to be told to her about Bhagwan. And she had no desire even to give a letter, because she knew that Swami knows everything. And she had very, very blissful time for 3 days during those 97-98. And meanwhile, In 2000, she got married to an English gentleman and she moved to UK. And the person she got married to, he was also open to Sai Baba. And that is how after that year, they started coming together as a couple to Prashanthi Nilayam every year. And that is how their journey, the regular journeys to Prashanthi began. And in 2002, when she was in Prashanthi Nilayam during Christmas, she heard the choir and she had this thought, how lucky it would be for me to be part of the choir, because she was a musician all her life. And she thought maybe she doesn't have the chance. She didn't know whom to approach, how to go about it. Next year, she made bold and she asked the conductor if she could play, and the conductor said, oh, okay, sure. Do you have your violin? And she said, no, I didn't bring my violin. And then the conductor said, well then, we don't know how we are going to do this, because we don't have an extra instrument. And Tanya was so desperate to get a violin, so she went outside to a shop, and there she asked the person if there is a violin, and the person said, we don't sell violins, but you know what, I can help you. My mother used to play violin, and probably there is an old violin lying in my home. And so this person goes home and brings this old violin, which was not used for many years. It was a disused violin. But this guy fortunately had the violin strings, even though he was not selling violin. And Tanya immediately took the strings and she resurrected that violin, and she was ready. She started playing, and that year she played for the Christmas, she was part of the adult Christmas choir, and it was such a beautiful experience. She didn't want to miss the choir from that year onwards, and every consecutive year she's been coming for Prashanthi Nilayam. And then came the biggest surprise to her last year in 2016, when suddenly she got an email from the Prashanthi Christmas committee asking if she can conduct the choir, if she can be the conductor. And she couldn't believe it. It was too good to be true. She had never done that before. It was challenging, but you know, she thought, I will never say no to Swami's work. This is his blessing. And she took it up with all enthusiasm, all sincerity. And it was such a beautiful, successful performance last year that she was asked to do it this year too. And this is the second year when she had this blessed opportunity to conduct the Christmas choir. And when I asked her how it felt after she finished the entire presentation of those nearly 14-15 songs at Bhagwan's presence at the Samadhi, she said, I felt so light. I felt such a surge of energy when she prostrated at the Samadhi. She said, I had one of the most incredible experiences. I just felt that I'm stuck to the Samadhi. She became glued to Bhagwan. She says, I don't know what happened. I was not able to move. It was like I was completely attached to the Samadhi. Some energy was just keeping me there. I was not able to move even an inch. And she started wondering if people around her will come and, you know, and forcibly take her out, because she was just not getting up. And she says, but she prayed, and then in a few seconds, the energy level receded, and then she was able to get up, and she says, I don't know, I was in some other plane. It is such an ethereal experience. Only one line from the carols that we sang, you know, keeps coming back to me. She said, Sai Ram, Satya Sai Ram, Bhagwan, you are the one, you are the one, you are the one. In fact, there's one very beautiful carol that they sang during This Is Christmas, and all the carols were so beautiful. Maybe we should listen to this carol. Maybe we should also revel in the magic, in the melodic magic of this carol. Let's listen to this one.
Yeah.
One very interesting thing about Mrs. Tanya Goldberg is that given that she was born in former Yugoslavia and then she moved to Moscow and later traveled to Brazil and finally now has been living in England, thanks to all these migrations, she is familiar with so many languages. She is comfortable with Russian, with Spanish, with English, with all the Yugoslavian languages. And so this is such a helpful tool for her when she's now leading a group of musicians from different countries, because it's an eclectic mix of people from so many countries playing different instruments, and she's trying to make all of them come together as one voice. And she says that is the most blissful experience, taking so many people along and taking them towards unity. And the way destiny has shaped her, the way Swami has guided her life all the while, she's convinced that, you know, it was Swami who was doing all this, be it her music, be it her travels, be it her profession, everything was preparing her for this beautiful moment to come in her life when she's able to offer something to Swami. And she says that whole experience of working as one voice, as oneness, experiencing that oneness of God is such an overwhelming experience. In fact, a member of a group this time had come out with a new song, and the song reflected this sentiment. The song says, "We are all souls, incarnations of love. We are uniting in oneness of God, in the one love that sustains all, in the one love that embraces all, now and eternally. We are the future, the children of love, crossing the rainbow bridge way up above, over borders and religions to a place where every second, every soul feels love and is loved. Peace in all minds and love in all hearts, hands that are helping and hearts that are warm. May all beings all be happy, and may tears be those of gladness with a smile on every face." So this is the new song that was composed specially for this Christmas. Should we listen to it?
Oh,
the beautiful song, "We are the world and all friends in our hearts, sharing the same earth, same sun, moon and stars. It is just love that can wake love. It is just love that can change it all into one all-embracing world of love and peace." In fact, this is what she also mentioned, how beautiful it would be to have a world where only love and peace reigns. In fact, being in Prashant Nilayam makes one feel that it is possible. In times like Christmas, you actually see multitudes from different cultures and languages happily smiling and coming together in love and joy. And that is the reason why no one wants to leave Prashant Nilayam. Even Tanya Goldberg, she was almost in tears that she has to go. And she now wants to book the tickets for next year at the earliest. She never wants to miss a year, never wants to miss Prashant Nilayam. And that is the experience that everyone I met shared. You know, no one wants to leave Prashant Nilayam once they are here, because they say that, you know, this is home for me. Tanya was saying that last year she has one of her students, she's a Chinese pupil, to come and be part of the choir, and she came and everything was new to her, culture, language, food, but she was so happy being here that she's come back this year again, and she says that next year I'm going to bring my parents and we want to be in Prashant Nilayam for this festival. That is what Prashant Nilayam does to everyone. You step into this place and you'll never be the same again. It is this power of oneness. In fact, as I reflect on Christmas, I cannot also think of a very beloved devotee of Bhagwan, a very distinguished, eminent, and such an endearing personality in the Sai fraternity, late Professor N. Kasturi, because he too was born on the Christmas day. He was not just a biographer of Bhagwan or the translator of his discourses or the author of so many books. He was someone whom Bhagwan shaped to be such a beautiful flute in his hands. Through him flowed this saga of Bhagwan's life, the Satyam, Shivam, Sundaram. And Professor Kasturi used to give so many talks in those days. Swami used to always tell him to go and speak to the devotees. And remember, in one talk, he mentioned about the letter that Swami had written in 1947. And he says that in that poem that Bhagwan had written in Telugu, Swami says, "I have got a purpose for which I have come. I have undertaken a great mission. I have resolved upon one thing, and which is, I will give Ananda to the entire mankind and save them through that Ananda." And Professor Kasturi in that talk says, now imagine for this boy who just lived in Puttaparthi, someone at that point in time described Puttaparthi as a village which is 5 minutes from Stone Age. And Professor Kasturi says, imagine born in this village in a very poor family. Swami did not even have money to purchase buttons for his shirts. He used to use thorns collected from thorny plants and use them as his buttons. So he says, imagine a boy born in such circumstances studying in a school which was up to what we call the fourth form or fourth grade, and leaving school after he completed his sixth or seventh. And he says, a boy like this saying that he will give Ananda to entire mankind. In fact, talking about Puttaparthi of those days, Professor Kasturi says that when the first jeep came to Prashant Nilayam, it was such a piece of curiosity that people asked the driver if they could push it to some distance, because they thought it's a great privilege if they can even push it by a few feet. I mean, it was in these circumstances that Bhagwan took birth. He was one with the most ordinary person on the planet. And at the same time, he said, "I have come on a mission to give Ananda to entire mankind. I have come to spread love." And he said, how? By removing the great grief of people who are poor, who are distressed and who are downtrodden. I will remove their grief and give them what they lack. It may be material means or it may be spiritual strength, whatever they lack, I will give. And Bhagwan also in that letter wrote, "Whoever worships me with niyama and nishtha, with proper conditions, I will save them. I will not give them up." In fact, this is what is mentioned in the Bhagavad Gita also. Ananyas chintayanto mam ye jana paryupasate tesham nityabhi yuktanam yogakshemam vahamyam. Lord Krishna declares, whoever thinks of me incessantly, I will be always with them and look after their welfare completely. And Professor Kasturi, when he was narrating this, he said, you know, this is what people generally understand this meaning, the meaning of this sloka to be, but Swami has given an altogether different meaning. While the Gita says, whoever worships me with single-minded devotion, I will always be with them. I will give them happiness in this world and joy in the next. Swami explained that ananyas chintayanto mam. Ananya chinta is usually explained as being single-minded, that is without any other thought while worshipping the Lord. So many people think of it as absolute loyalty to the Lord, that one should always rely entirely on God and dedicate oneself entirely to Him. Well, this is the usual meaning that is given to this quotation. But Professor Kasturi says, Swami says, that is not the only meaning. The real meaning is ananya chinta, meaning that the thought that he is different from me, ananya, the idea of difference should not be there. If you worship me, adore me, revere me without this thought that he is different, that I am separate, that he is he and I am I, that I am not he, he is not I. If you do not have anya chinta, meaning if you don't have that feeling of separation between you and the other person, then I will support you and foster you. So Bhagavan is saying that if you don't think of the other person as different, and if you see the unity in creation, then I will be there to support you and foster you. We should not have the feeling that he is another. We should always have the feeling that we are one. If anything is happening to somebody, it is as good as it is happening to me. That is the feeling of unity that one should experience, that one should strive to. And Professor Kasturi was someone who lived this principle in his life. Though everyone remembers Professor Kasturi as someone who spread happiness, who talked so beautifully, who always was smiling and who always was cracking jokes, and such a jovial, humble, beautiful person, what many people do not know, that his life was actually full of tragedies. It was not all honky-dory as one might imagine it to be. One might think that he was so close to Swami that so his life was full of joys, it was a bed of roses. In fact, it was quite the opposite. His personal life was riddled with terrible losses, disappointments and diseases. It was actually the devastating moments in his life was way above the ordinary person's life. His life partner, Mrs. Rajamma, who was his pillar of strength and support, was paralyzed for 11 years and she died before him. He lost his elder son at the prime of his life, just when he was blossoming into a promising adult. When he was 85, he had to see his another son die at 60, and his daughter's marital life was beset with so many problems. But as Professor Anil Kumar says, no one ever for a moment saw Professor Kasturi putting on a melancholic face. Just like Lord Shiva swallowing the poison and holding it in his throat and shedding only coolness, Professor Kasturi accepted every obstacle as an event in the course of life which was meant for his ultimate good, and he spread only sweetness. He never complained to Swami, never told anybody about them, never allowed anything to disturb his devotion or his equanimity to Bhagavan. In fact, when his son, who was a reputed geologist, retired and soon passed away, Professor Kasturi said, well, his station has come and he got down. Mine has not yet come. That is how equanimous he was. And Mrs. Padma Kasturi, his daughter, says, even though he was living with us as if very emotionally involved at times, but inside he was completely detached. In fact, she says, I many times used to wonder, what is his mental makeup? Because sometimes I felt very attached, and we saw that he was so attached to the family. Because when my sons came from Bangalore, he would talk to them very endearingly and all that. But at other times, he would be so detached. She says, one day I asked him, Father, I'm not able to understand you. Why is it that sometimes you're so wonderful and I feel that you're very much attached to all of us, but at other times you seem so very removed from everything around you? And he just smiled and said, okay, see, I am dupe. And he said, oh, I am duping you too. See how well I am playing my drama. That is what he said. So everything around him was just a drama. In fact, there's one very powerful moment one day when he returned after giving a talk to foreign devotees. Padma just burst out. She said that, what is this? You go and talk for hours about Swami and how Swami helped this person or that person, rescued this person or cured that person. But what about us? What has Swami done for us? Your wife is sick. For 11 years, she has been lying on the bed and see my marital problems. I've had so many problems. So she simply poured her sorrow in anger to her. And Professor Kasturi heard everything. And finally he said, Padma, it is okay for you to talk in this vein, but I don't want Swami to do anything for me or my family. Whatever he does, he is perfect. I have full faith he is God. Whomever he does, on whomever he showers his attention, his grace, his love, I consider them as my own. I don't have the feeling that he should do only something for my family, my wife or my daughter. What you are saying might be okay from your point of view, but as far as I am concerned, I don't have the feeling that Swami should do only something for me. Whenever he does anything for anyone, he is doing it for me. I don't feel the difference. That was Professor Kasturi. And in fact, it is this sense of oneness that Swami wants all of us to cultivate. No wonder Bhagwan declared that Professor Kasturi is to be blessed, to be the mother of Prema Sai. Once you reach that stage of oneness with the Lord, you just merge into the Lord. And after that, you just become an instrument in the Lord's hand to share His glory. Before I conclude, let me read out a very beautiful poem that on one New Year day, Bhagwan very interestingly wrote for Professor Kasturi. In fact, it was a poem handwritten by Swami. And Professor Kasturi at that time was very much in Puttaparthi. But you know what Swami had done was so sweet. He had sent a devotee with this card to Bukkapatnam to be posted there so that it reaches Professor Kasturi on the New Year's Day. You know, and it becomes a completely pleasant surprise from it. It comes via post. And you know, when Professor Kasturi read that, he was so much in joy. I mean, look at the pains to which Bhagwan had gone to ensure that, you know, he makes the new year of Professor Kasturi beautiful. And in that poem, Bhagwan writes, I firmly believe that there is none kinder than you to shower grace on me. Tell me, is this not the reason why I am at your lotus feet? I firmly believe that you will respond quick when I do pray and plead. Tell me, is this not the reason why I am crying aloud for you? I firmly believe you are ever beside me to guide my steps aright. Tell me, is this not the reason why I am yours through day and night? I firmly believe you can never say no whatever I ask from you. Tell me, is this not the reason why I long for a glance from you? What have you designed for me this time? Why this dire delay to offer boons? However long you may make me wait and wail, I will not leave. I will be standing still until your loving eyes do turn to me. Such a soul-stirring prayer, isn't it? It makes you feel someone has so perfectly penned every pang of your heart, expressing every intimate emotion of your inner self. Well, this is the indweller writing a poem. He knows what goes on in our hearts. And Swami, in fact, ends this beautiful New Year card writing in the end to Professor Kasturi, my dear one, begin the New Year with the above prayer, endowed with long life and sound health, surrounded by children, grandchildren and friends, keep on imbibing joy through devotion and wisdom. I bless that your days be spent in the service of Sarveshwara, in the service of the Lord of all. Spend your life in abundant peace and happiness. Baba. Well, this is the blessing that Bhagwan is giving us. As we await this new year, let us ensure that in this new year, we feel one with our neighbors, we feel one with our family, and that we share His love in that spirit of oneness. Because as Bhagwan says, from unity comes purity, and then it is only divinity. With these thoughts, dear listeners, as we all await the new year, I leave you praying to Bhagwan that the beautiful 2018 will take us closer and closer to Him, and we feel His love more and more in our lives. Thank you so much. Sayonara.